right, welcome to Balogun and Broad. Yes, in case you do not know, this is Balogun and Broad, and on Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m., I beg your pardon, we get to talk about things that revolve around businesses, small, medium, large-scale businesses, and, you know, the economy one way or another. And today we're going to talk about energy prices. You know what they say about powering a country. When you power the country, you power the economy. And now Nigeria seems to be dealing with an energy crisis that's seemingly not going away anytime soon. And it's been most of the conversations that we've had all through yesterday into today. It looks like that's all that we've been looking at. And I've gotten a lot of reactions from you, the callers, you, the listeners, and we all don't seem to be very happy about it. We hear that there's more trouble for these generating companies as federal government has increased gas prices by 11%. Now, DISCOs have also increased, you know, tariff by 300%. So a lot of people are saying expect a high cost of operations and bills, you know, for GenCos. And for those of us who have barely even seen the light, expect more money and limited power supply. Well, my guest is an economist, a very good friend of mine. I love it when I have him here in the studio. I drag him away from whatever it is. And I like that he never says no to me. The day he says no to me, I will understand, because he always says yes. Mukhtar Mohammed is an economist. He's joining us via Zoom. Mr. Mohammed, I don't know if we've seen this yet, but Happy New Year is in order. And I'm sure that you're observing the fast.
Thank you, Mimi. Happy New Year too. And if we have not seen this year, like you said, it's tough times for Nigeria. Very, very tough time. But for you that don't see light up to 20 hours, you are not affected by what the current increment, according to the report. Those are in band A that are affected, and those that get light up to 20 hours.
Yeah.
So if you don't have light up to 20 hours, you shouldn't worry. You still pay your old bills. And the National Electricity Regulation Commission told us that there are some people that are in band A, but they've not been enjoying that 20 hours. They have moved them to band B, so they will not be affected also. So, but again, the challenge is, why do you increase gas by 11% and then increase tariff by 300%? So you begin to ask yourself, what's the rationale? You see, it's only in this country, the more you see, the less you understand. You begin to ask yourself, in this current economic hardship, where in other countries, energy is being subsidized for them. Even if the federal government is telling you that they are subsidizing energy, how do you subsidize when not all Nigerians are metered? So it's a hard time for individuals, and it's going to be a very, very hard time for businesses, because most businesses that don't even see that power. So when they get to see that power, they are going to pay a high tariff for it. And also, in turn, the diesel, where we have some little good news that diesel is coming down because of the production from Dangote refinery.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Mimi, if you have seen that. I went through Lagos today, and I was looking there, looking at the filling station to see where they will see diesel is 1,000. I've still seen 1,500. I'm still seeing 1,500. So I hope your callers, anybody that have seen 1,300, let us know, because I have not seen that yet, because I just hear the news. And sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes I say propaganda is so large that tomorrow you hear Dangote, they will say, no, they've not started lifting, because we're made to understand from that report that they started lifting since last week.
Last week, Wednesday, actually. Yes.
Wednesday. And I have not seen any NPC selling this at 1,000. He's the only one that sell at 1,440. So that's what is still there. So I don't understand. So if anybody has any, I bought diesel for 1,300, let us know.
I want to go back to let's start with the fact that energy has been subsidized over the years. In fact, in 10 years, government has made claims that they've spent so much money subsidizing electricity, yet you and I don't have light. I don't know if you're in band A, because you're a big man. You know, me, I'm a common Nigerian, so I don't live in band A. But let me just run it by you in case you do not know. I did run it by my listeners earlier today. From 2016, how much money the federal government of Nigeria has spent in subsidizing power for us. Let me just run it by you, Mr. Mohammed, so that you understand what we're dealing with. So in 2015, government said that they spent $225 billion to subsidize electricity. In 2018, $308 billion. In 2017, $351 billion. In 2019, $528 billion. In 2020, $501 billion. In 2021, it reduced to $251 billion. In 2022, $144 billion. It reduced further. Then in 2023, it went back up to $645 billion. And just between January and February of this year, they claim that they've subsidized power by 2 trillion naira. Help us make it make sense. What are they subsidizing?
Maybe they're subsidizing darkness, you understand? And again, we have grid collapse every time despite all the subsidy. For me, my challenge with this current, when it comes to subsidy in Nigeria, is just the way it's shored in a lot of secrecy, the way it shores in a lot of corruption. I can tell you, Mimi, if tomorrow they say subsidy is removed from electricity, you realize that the usage will come down.
Mm.
So you don't understand why that usage will come down because subsidies have been increased.
Mm.
So that shows you that there's something not right. I think all this subsidy noise started with the new minister for power when he came in. He started making the noise about subsidy, removal of subsidy, not subsidy. I think before now, we don't even know whether they pay subsidy for him. And let me give you an example, Mimi. In just Ghana, yeah, Ghana has been subsidizing electricity for the people for the past 2 years because they feel that that also will bring down the cost of doing business. That also will bring down inflation. They are looking at their people. But again, what we see in Nigeria is that a government that is always interested in revenue, only revenue, only revenue. You don't know that it's only when the people are alive that they can pay revenue.
Mm.
So there's a lot of things wrong in the power reform. Number one, by now, power should have been a little bit cheaper because most of the money they would have paid or would have paid, they would have been able to recoup it. That's not like what we have in the telecom sector. Remember before now, the point to send an SMS was 15 naira to send an SMS, but now it's 4 naira.
Yep.
That took time. So you see that calls also, call tariff have come down. Before now, tariff for a 1 minute call used to be like 45 naira. But we don't get that again because most of them almost have recouped their money doing new investment and diving into other sectors. Now, when you look at the power sector, those that got the license only looked, they didn't have the technical ability, they've not done any investment. And that is why Nigeria, the minister can say we are generating 7,000. They can only take 4,000 because they've not upgraded their equipment. That means they don't have the financial capability to handle it. And so that is all because the wrong people were giving these licenses. They were only looking at the money in terms of, oh, then NEPA, how much do they make? They didn't look at the investment. They didn't have the right technical partners also to guide them through it. So that's why the power sector reform as it stands now looks like a failure. Government on its own part also not done justice to it because they are still holding on. They are still holding on to a particular, they are still holding on to generation. So generation has not improved because government itself have not invested so much in generation. So we are here talking about the Mambela Plateau. We are here talking about all these projects that should have been coming into added to the national grid. And sometimes the state government come up and make so much noise. And a lot of people say, hey, let's decentralize power. President Tinubu, the first bill he signed was the decentralization of power, that every state can now decide to produce power for their citizens and collect revenue. Up to this moment, no state have added one. So sometimes when they say some of this, remove it from the concurrent news, put it. But up to this moment, we have not seen any investment from any state. State that are even struggling to pay salary. State that are even negotiating to see how they will not pay the new minimum wage.
Well, there are people who will point to Abia State and say, look, the guy's done a bit of magic that, you know, we're hoping that every other state could have done. So can we give credit to Abia State for what they've done? And what exactly has he done that's different from, you know, that, I mean, because obviously people are in other states, I say, okay, if these people are having 24 hours light, why can't every other state have it? Explain to us.
Yes, what Abia State did is PPP.
Privatization.
Public-private partnership. Mm. And you remember the former minister for, he was actually the one that started the privatization scheme here in Nigeria, that is Bartolome Nnaji.
Yes.
So Abia State now have bought into his own, this, so he supply power to them directly. Mm. So it does not add it to the national grid. He supply to them and they pay them. That's the only state that have gone into the decentralization and said, okay, we have a power plant here. So we already have it just beside us. So what we do is that you don't, we buy all those power, you make sure you give our people like, we are going to pay. Mm. And that's what has happened. And that's what we talk about. When you have a governor that is a private sector governor, a man that all his life has been a private sector man, a man that have not had any political appointment, a man that was not the permanent secretary, was not a director in the Ministry of Finance, was not a permanent secretary, and then after that he become a senator and become a member of House of Representatives. You have a man that has been in public sector, a man that has been in the private sector all his life, is able to bring the ingenuity of the private sector to run his state. So that's why we keep saying that. You have not run a company. How can you run a nation? How can you run a state? So the problem we have is that we have politicians running states. Rather than when you look at the Southeast, two states are doing very well because they are all run by private sector. In the Southeast, you look at Anambra State. Right from the inception of Anambra State, after the ouster of the former governor. After the PDP asset, when you look at the other governors that are coming, they're all private sector. Peter Obi was a private sector man before he became the governor of that state, Anambra State. Also, that also happened. The former governor that just left, he also was a private sector man. Abiano was a private sector man. Even if you have issues with the way he handled Anambra State, but you could still say that he didn't leave them in a shambles. Then you came to the current governor. The current governor has hit the ground running in terms of development. I'm talking about Abia State in the way it has gone. If you look at Anambra State, the same thing has happened. So, but when you look at Abia State, all the while, Abia State have had politicians as governors. They have not enjoyed the dividend of democracy until they have a private sector man as a governor. And you can see what is happening. So once you begin to look at people, leadership is not about aura. Leadership is behavioral. How do you behave? It's not about, he has aura. He has personality. Leadership is not personality. Leadership is behavioral. How do you behave? How do we see our leaders behave? Because what we see in Nigeria is leaders that are king and not ready to serve. Because you keep telling the people, tighten your belt, but you are living large. So for the power sector, there's going to be a long look. Like, I was telling a friend today, we're talking, I said, look, they've increased this thing. He said, look, I won't have a problem if I'm going to pay this amount and I have lights, I have power. That means I will make diesel, I will make petrol, and that will reduce my cost in my house.
Absolutely.
But a situation whereby I will still have to, at a point in time, buy diesel. At a point in time, everybody in Nigeria is not going for inverter. Inverter is not cheap. So there's a lot of things that needs to be clear about what we are really doing as a nation, whether we are really thinking of moving forward. Because now you are saying they should increase tariff. Before now, the federal government said it will not allow them increase tariff until every Nigerian is metered.
That's a whole kettle of fish on its own. We have
So now you are increasing tariff. I feel for those that will be in this band A, and they are now going to be giving them estimated billing. How will they survive?
Wow.
Because the whole idea, the government was saying that we will not increase tariff until we make sure Nigerians are metered. Because that's when you pay for what? Now you are talking about subsidy. You are paying subsidy for estimated billings.
Well, I mean, the NERC has come out to say they don't have enough meters to meter across the country, and that's why there's been that long wait. And I've had many people call me on the show over and over and say, oh, we have money, we've gone to collect meter. They say there's no meter. We don't want them to give us estimated bill, but they're still bringing estimated bills. And, you know, because they put whatever they like on it. And then Many have also said, we've not seen lights in months, but they keep coming to take. In fact, someone told me when I traveled recently that in their area, they don't see light. They could see light maybe once or twice in a month. And the second time they see that light is when they're coming for disconnection. So it's a totally planned out situation.
Before now, Mimi, they came up with a strategy, which was supposed to be very nice. They said, if they are not metered, at the point, they say you can only pay 5,000 naira. Because it's the fault of them not to have metered you. But along the line, all these laws are there, but the government are not implementing it.
Mm.
And the people do not have even have the people that where will you go to report? If you go to Consumer Protection NJC, you go there, your case is going to drag longer, longer, longer. At the point you are frustrated. Mm. It's like if they are partners in crime. So we need to look at it. If I'm not against increment of tariff, you see, power is not cheap any part in the world. But power must be there for development. In the UK, when the pandemic was there, for 2 years, power was subsidized for the people because a major cost. Now, the earning capability of the average Nigerian has not gone up, yet everything has increased. So civil servants will pay more for power, yet their salary still remain where it is.
Wow.
So it is all about like the government seems to come up with economic policies that are good. Now, this can attract private sector investment. This can attract foreign investment. That's a fantastic idea.
Mm.
But what happened to the earning ability of your people to be able to afford those investments that you are bringing in?
Mm.
So that, for me, is a challenge. The president can come up on May 29 and said, subsidy is gone. But he has taken it over a year now to give living wage.
Wow.
It's easy for the CBN governor to say we'll float the naira. Today, inflation is about 31%.
Hmm.
Now you have increased tariff on electricity. Inflation will go up too because cost of production will go up. Now the market woman that you go and buy before now will tell you dollar, dollar, dollar. It will not tell you dollar again. So for government to have approved over 200 and something percent hike, I don't think they are being reasonable.
Where does this leave us, you know, economically? Because as much as we know the problems, how do we deal going forward? You mentioned something that's very important. Salaries are not being increased. And it's not just about the public sector. It's across the board. Private businesses, they cannot pluck money from out of the sky because they're all having to deal with it. For example, if Etemiyang doesn't have light for a whole day, it affects our business. That means that we're going to be running this 24-hour station on diesel. And the overhead cost is going to be a lot. It's going to affect, of course, the payroll. So what can be done, especially for businesses running in Africa, in Nigeria, I beg your pardon? What's the sucker? What's the cushioning effect? Is there any, actually? I have 2 minutes before we go on a break.
Well, Mimi, unfortunately, the only cushioning effect we have to deal with the people, because when business have an overhead cost, the first thing you begin to look at is how to reduce your manpower. It's as easy as that.
Mm.
Because you want to reduce your cost, you don't want to reduce the quality of your goods. So you need to begin to look at your operational costs. And when you talk about operational costs, you talk about people.
Mm.
And so that's why some businesses now, they tell you to work from home.
Mm.
Some places they said, okay, you can do this from home. Some places they say, okay, come to the office just twice in a week. Some places they have gone as far as giving them data allowance to work from home because it's cheaper.
Mm.
So we'll see a lot of those things happening because now overhead costs in an office has gone high. So what you see in the manufacturing plant now, what you see is that they will want all the money, those that are involved in the remanufacture will be the ones to come. Any person informed in administration and everything may be asked to go or work once in a week, and you are being paid, or convert some of this staff to temporary staff.
Mm.
That's the only way a business can survive.
Wow. It's a grim picture for us, especially as the year is just getting started. One would have hoped that we'd get some, a little bit of succor coming from, you know, how incredible 2023 has been for us, and incredible in not the nicest of ways. Well, Lagos, Mukhtar Mohammed is an economist and he's here with us. We're talking about our energy crisis and how, of course, the rippling effect is hitting hard on the Nigerian economy. And if there be any way out anytime soon, it doesn't seem to be any. But then let's talk about it when we come back after the break. We'll go for a quick break. When we come back, the phone lines are open. We're also live, facebook.com/Nigeria Info. We're live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Join the conversation. You're a business person, you're a worker, you run a part-time business, or you run your own entrepreneurship. How are you going to deal going forward, especially if you fall in the category of people who get this at least 18 hours of light a day? We'll talk when we come back from this break. Stay with us.
Nigeria Info.
Yes, it is hard facts, and this is Balogun and Broad, and we're talking about the energy crisis across the country. Is there a way out of this one? And with the increment, the recent increment by 300% for certain people who have access to light or power, and of course the fact that there's certain parts of the country who also have not seen light in forever, the big question is how or what effect does this have on our economy? And plus the fact that we are already dealing with the cost of living crisis, are we digging ourselves further down into a hole, a black hole, if you ask me? Or is there an end in sight? Or does the government have a plan that might work miracles anytime soon? My guest is Mukhtar Mohammed. He is an economist. He's been talking to us, giving us all the statistics. But Lagos, I want to bring you into the conversation. You have questions, you have comments, you disagree with a few things that we've said here. Please, by all means, join the conversation. It's 0201-465-7190. That's 0201-465-7190. Or you could join the conversation via Skype if you're listening to us from outside of the country via our mobile app. You want to tell us exactly how it's done in other countries and how maybe we can also get it right here. Or you just want to comment on it. Join the conversation. You own a business. You run a business. You work in the private sector. Or maybe you just, you know, run a home and half the time, the things that you put in the freezer go bad because light is unstable. And of course, fuel, the pump price is high. How much fuel can you buy to fill your generator to run? For how long anyway? And how long can you go on doing this? And what's your take-home pay? Can it even help to run the type of, you know, energy supply that you want to run in your house? Let's talk Lagos. 0201-465-7190. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Miriam. Good evening.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Oboli calling from Ikorodu.
Go ahead.
Last night, a customer of mine asked me, how much do I sell blood tonic? So she has bought one before, and then she wanted another one. So I told her the current price. And the old woman looked at me and said, Shebi, they said the cost of dollar has crashed down. That how come these drugs are not going down? I'm just coming in, so I really don't know the discourse on, but I know it has to do with money and all the things. Please, I want your guest to explain to me, what is the rationale? How do I explain to this woman that indeed they said the cost of dollar is crashing, but it's not affecting goods? There's no positive change, both in foodstuffs, the goods we sell and everything. How do I explain to people like that? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I'll take another call. Hello. Welcome to Balogun and Broad.
Good evening, Mary Ann.
Good evening.
That is Pastor Ladipo.
All right, Pastor Ladipo, go ahead, please.
Now, In this case of this subsidy removal on this electricity tariff, I want to ask your guests, in the first place, why should they bring in like things like band A, band B, band C, and all the bands? Is there not supposed to be how they can be that everybody should be on equal level? Why the discrimination of band A, band B, band C? Now, they remove some people from band A, either without telling them. And they can even put you in band A without telling you. So the thing is confusing. And lastly, asking, most of these government parastatals, are they the one they are subsidizing, or the entire populace, they are the ones that are subsidizing. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Mohammed, care to respond to the two callers?
Okay, let me start with the government parastatal.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, they are part of the people that they are subsidizing, because the subsidy, this time government says subsidizing every Nigeria, not maybe a particular Nigeria. So once they have power, they are enjoying subsidy from government. Secondly, you talked about why do you have to have ban A, ban B, ban C? Now, the whole idea of ban A, ban B, ban C was to bring down the cost of electricity for the rural people. If you're in the rural area, they expect that your earning is not as high as what you earn in the urban area.
Okay.
So the whole idea of bringing ban is to make sure that there are some urban area in Lagos that are not, don't have the elite living there, the ordinary Nigerians living there.
Mm.
So the whole idea of ban A, ban B was for that. But now, when you're in business, that's the business angle of it. When you're in business, you want, somebody has to pay for what you are enjoying the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're in ban B, you are not paying so much. Ban A will bear the cost. So for the power people to have more money, they now decide to increase power to ban A. So I think that is their business model. These are the people that are going to pay. These are the people that are paying more. So you definitely, it's just like if you have a customer. If you have a high net customer like the bank, they will say you have an high net customer. You have a premium customer. Then they will say, they will come up with a lot of things that the premium customer will enjoy. They will say you have a lunch when you are traveling. You have a discount on this. When you come to the banking hall, you'll be treated specially. Even in the telecom sector, there are premium customers. So, but you pay high for enjoying those services. So for the power sector, is in the terms of electricity supply that they are enjoying that. So that is what it means. But there's a clever to it, but it's just that sometimes we don't follow it. If I don't enjoy electricity up to 20 hours in a day, I'm supposed to pay what Ban B is paying. So that is why some people have been in Ban A, they are not enjoying supply, so they have taken them to ban B.
I see.
So that's what happened there. Yes, but the man that asked about cost of dollar, you see, goods, if I bought a good when dollar was 1,900 and I have not finished selling it, you don't expect me to sell it now that dollar is 1,200. You want to fill in those goods until you bring in the new goods before you begin to say, okay, this is what I want to do. I think so. The challenge is that, yes, the cost of dollar has come down, but how many of these goods that people bought at 1,900 have been completely sold? Remember, we still come back to the earning capability of average Nigerian. Before, those that used to buy two cans of milk are buying one can of milk. So those goods will still be there. Until those goods are finished, then you have supplies. Then you will now begin to see. That's why the CBN is saying that they don't see inflation coming down in April. They see inflation coming down in May. Now, with the recent electrical tariff, which the government have said now, that is just about 15% of Nigeria are in Ban A. So hopefully, that will not have so much effect on inflation. But
okay,
if only 15% of Nigeria enjoy power for 20 hours, I think it's an indictment.
Exactly. Why can't we all have power? But let me take another call quickly. Apologies. Do call me back if that was you. Hello. Welcome to Balogun Broad.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Remy.
Remy, you have 60 seconds. Let's go.
A few months ago, NEC fined IKEDC and other discos for overbilling customers. And they were also asked to credit the account of those overbilled customers, and they were asked to publish those accounts on, I think, two or three different dailies between March 24th. If I'm to ask, who is monitoring those discos if they have done this? I think they were asked to do this before March 24th. Nobody's, the so-called NEC, even the government is talking nothing, is saying nothing about this. but they were quick to jack up the price of tariff, and that is to have effect instantly. So who is monitoring this? Is are the discos trying to augment that part so that they can probably get the money they were asked to, as in they were fined for, and also get the money to credit the customers from the same customers?
All right, because we don't have time. Thank you very much, Remy. Mokhtar, can you respond to that?
I think that's supposed to be handled by the Consumer Protection Agency. When you come up with something like that, the Consumer Protection, I don't need to report to them. They make to see that, okay, if National Electric Regulation Commission have said this is the issue, I think it's now bound on the Consumer Protection Agency to make sure that those penalties are paid by NEPA, by the power company. Unfortunately, like I said, we don't seem to have that synergy between the Consumer Protection Agency protecting the consumer, like they will even protect those people that do the people that produce. So I think the problem is the Nigerian system, because like he is saying, yes, I had that news, but who are the people that were overbilled? It was just a general language that, oh, a number of people were, but where, what number? Well, how did they get that these people were overbilled? Where are these people located? Am I one of them so that I will know when they credit me? So those are part of the things that when you have transparency in communication within government cycle, then you'll be able to take that and say, okay, if you are the regulators, you would have sent a message to them. This is the digital technology, you have their phone numbers. You have sent a message to them and say, have you received anything like this? I remember those days, if you have issues with the telecom, they normally will say they will credit an amount of credit to you, and you'll get an alert to say those amount have been credited to your account. So the same thing with the bank, if you do overdrawing. So everything is, thing it has to do with the regulators and the consumer protection.
Book your flight on the Access More app and get 20,000 naira for shopping, valid from March the 27th to April the 10th, 2024. Terms and conditions apply.
This is an infomercial.
Well, Walter, unfortunately, time is not our friend. We have to, you know, pack up and say our goodbyes. But thank you so much for being here and being part of the conversation. I wish I could read some more messages. Maybe I could before we go. But Mokhtar Mohammed is an economist. Always a pleasure to have him on the show to break down some of these things to us and give us some statistics. Thank you for coming on the show once again, Mokhtar.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, Lagos, before we go, I might be able to read a few of your messages. I think I have less than a minute to read some messages. So let me see if I can do justice to those messages. Somebody says, so it's a crime not to be rich in Nigeria, Abi. So the question is, what is the value of the life of a Nigerian? Tunde from Osakpa. I cannot answer that question, can I? Someone says, please, why is meter tampering illegal? Electric connection law a criminal offense, while consumer law protection such as higher or lower voltage than needed, malfunctioning meters, indiscriminate charges, etc., isn't applicable seemingly in Nigeria. Meanwhile, subsidy applies in education, energy, health, and some industries beneficial to society in Europe, America, and etc. Why is it a taboo in Nigeria? This is where water got stuck in my teeth. Chisco from Ijegun, you've asked the question and you seem to have answered it. So someone here says, the whole system is designed to be inefficient to a greater number of Nigerians with this ban system. Then why is government giving blanket statements about the fact that power will or is improving in the country? Well, I cannot answer it, but I want to say thank you, everyone.